That Speaks special episode this evening, April 19th, 2025. Easter Eve. It'll be Easter in about 49 minutes. So happy Easter to those of you that celebrate. Happy belated Passover to those of you that celebrate. And happy early Earth Day or late Earth Day? Did Earth Day already happen? I don't even remember. When is Earth Day? Earth Day 2025. Nope. Happy early Earth Day. I nailed it. By the way, it's funny that I thought of that literally in this moment, because about 2 hours ago, I was like, what am I going to talk about on the Scott Speaks tonight? And I thought of, oh, I should retell the story of my senior year of college at Clemson when I, along with Tilda James Barley, when we stole, let's be honest, we stole, statute of limitations has passed, long passed, when we stole two trays of donuts from essentially the Clemson cafeteria, I guess. And it happened on Earth Day. And I was not even thinking about the fact that Earth Day is right around the corner when I had that thought earlier today. So I guess I could add that. Sorry, I'm putting some lip balm. I've got one spot of very, very chapped lip that's bothering me. But anyway, it's like a split lip thing. And it's not fun to really do anything, but most notably talk when you have effed up lips. Anyway, so maybe I'll tell that story. We'll see. I'll go through the other stuff that I've kind of jotted down and see if there's time left at the end of the show. What do you say? Oh, wow. Hold, please. Just realized that I did not plug in my computer. Okay. Problem solved. I had like 30 minutes of battery left. And that would have been annoying as hell if I'd recorded a Scott Speaks and then my computer turned off and I somehow lost it. I would then lose it. Anyway, so again, April 19th. Busy day here in the household. Actually, this past week was busy. Todd and his family were out here in the Denver area. So the cousins, his daughters and my daughter, got to meet each other for the first time. They'd never met. And they got along swimmingly, which was great. Had a little field trip, went to the zoo, had a few meals together. It was nice. And then apparently, I spoke to my dad earlier, apparently I think they were supposed to fly home last night, Friday night, around 6:30, 6:45, something like that. And because of wacky spring weather, which you often get here in Denver, it was snowing and very windy past 48 hours or so. I'm told they did not leave Denver until around midnight, which means they got back to Baltimore somewhere around 4:30, 5 a.m., something like that. So that would suck. But so I'm sure all day today they were just miserable, sleeping, napping. Hopefully they had nothing to do. I don't know. Maybe they did. But while they were struggling through that, here in this household, it was another kind of wet, cold day today. So we didn't really leave the house or go outside much, although we did go outside this afternoon. But the big agenda item that we, that the wife and I crossed off was changing out young Isla's room from a room with a crib to a room with a quote-unquote big girl bed. Something that, you know, she's over three now. We've been talking about doing for a long time. And we just finally bit the bullet and did it. Switched out the bed. Now, obviously, a lot of benefits to having a crib as opposed to a bed. But, you know, she's got to make the plunge at some point. So I figured today was the day. And, yeah, so we shall see. how that pans out. Took her a while to go to sleep. And then even once the wife left the room after thinking we had put her down for sleep, she then wanted old Dada, that'd be me, to swing through and, you know, tell her goodnight, give her a hug, even though I'd done that an hour earlier, 45 minutes at least. So hopefully that's not a pattern, but she was obviously very excited. It is a real pain in the ass to make that transition. I had to completely take apart the crib, take it all down in the basement, and then, you know, Jamie and I combined had to bring up the box spring. So we just have a box spring on the floor and then a mattress on top of it. The mattress was already just one. We have a tri-level house and a basement. So the box spring was on the penultimate floor. The mattress was on the penultimate floor. So that wasn't as hard to lug up there. But the box spring was literally in the basement. So I had to bring it up to the bottom floor, up to the second floor, up to the third floor. Just a very laborious process, to say the least. But got it up there, got the mattress on. And then Jamie put on all the accoutrement, sheets, and comforter, duvet, whatever, pillows, all that stuff. And then all her, put all of Isla's buddies on there. So she's all set up now. The room obviously feels a little different because there's a big bed in the corner as opposed to a crib. But I'm sure within a matter of days, I'll be used to it. Jamie and Isla might take a little longer. It's just their nature. But hopefully it works out. Not sure if anyone out there has any comments or thoughts. When did you switch your children to a big bed as opposed to a crib? How did the transition go? Were there any issues? Do you have any pro tips? I'm all ears. Hopefully I don't need it, but obviously let me know. TheBroPodNetwork@gmail.com, TheBroPodNetwork@gmail.com, or shoot me a DM on Instagram or X at @the_bro_pod. Let me know. I'd love to take any advice anyone has out there. But so that was a big thing today. Check that off. Check that box, which, again, has been a long time coming. So I'm glad we were able to get that done. Tomorrow, of course, as I mentioned at the top of the show, is Easter. We have the Easter basket with some stuff. I think the only real candy is Peeps, but she has some toys that she's getting tomorrow. Again, I grew up getting Easter baskets every Easter, probably into my teens, honestly. And sure, towards, you know, by the time I was a young teen or even a mid-teen, I was getting more like, you know, pairs of boxer shorts along with the jelly beans and other chocolatey or confectionery goodies. But by the way, a little reminder for myself to swing by Safeway on Monday and get the Easter candy at half price. But anyway, but but yeah, I feel like at this age, again, Isla basically newly turned 3, we don't want to be giving her a bunch of candy. We do allow her to eat candy from time to time. You know, most meals when she's done, assuming she's eaten enough of her meal, we allow her to have dessert. Normally it's just like animal crackers or something basic, but, you know, around Christmas time, there was a lot more candy available, and we even had some, it must have been around Valentine's Day. Sometime in the past couple months, we even had some Peeps on hand, which, by the way, pro tip, if you didn't know this, because I've had this issue many, many times, the second, and I mean the second you open a package of Peeps, if you have any hope of eating them again at some point in the future, put them in a plastic bag. I know that probably seems pretty obvious, but it just wasn't to me or my wife until recently. But we had Peeps for 6-8 weeks, and they stayed good. I mean, by the end of the 8 weeks, when the last one or two were getting eaten, they were close to being stale, but they were still good. As opposed to if you just keep them in the package once it's open, like 36 hours later, they're hard as a rock. So, again, just a little tip from your Uncle Scotty J there. But anyway, so I think there's some peeps in the basket, but otherwise we don't put a lot of candy. We don't make a lot of candy available. Now, the one thing that we've probably mentioned on this show before, or on the other half, on an episode of the other half, at least I assume we've mentioned this. If we have not, here you go. Our daughter does not like chocolate to the point where if I am eating something or my wife is eating something and it looks like we're enjoying it and she thinks she might want a bite or a taste, she'll say, oh, does that have chocolate? If we say yes, she's not interested. It's kind of wild because my wife's chocoholic. I'm not a huge chocolate fan, but I'll eat it. I mean, I'm looking, well, actually, I don't have any chocolate anymore in my office. I always have some candy on hand. But like Reese's, stuff like that, you know, I enjoy those. I'm like crazy. Twix, big fan of Twix. Butterfinger, I'm eating Butterfinger at work recently. So it's not out of the realm of normalcy for me to be eating chocolate, but my daughter just doesn't want anything to do with it, which of course makes my wife think that she's adopted, but what are you going to do? Anyway, so that's coming up, the old Easter basket. And it was funny. Jamie asked me just a few hours ago, she was like, where do we put it? Like, where do we put the basket? And I'm like, well, we could really confuse her by putting it in front of the chimney. Because she'll be like, wait, is Santa and the Easter Bunny, are they the same? No. She said that, I think she either directly said or alluded to the fact that when she was younger, it would be like right outside her door. I'm like, look, if we, and certainly Isla's still young enough, if we want her to continue this belief that the Easter Bunny is a person, or not a person, but the Easter Bunny is a real thing, we should put it in a particular place. But so I think what we decided to do is put it in the back by the back door, like the back patio, inside, of course, simply because here in Colorado, there's bunnies all over the place that just kind of run wild. And so maybe she thinks that one of the bunnies that's often in her front or backyard could be the Easter Bunny. And it would make sense then to her that the basket of goodies that was put together by said Easter Bunny would just be right inside the door. And then they'd skitter out of here because they're very skittish as animals, as most of you are probably aware. But so anyway, that's what we're doing. I'm almost positive we don't have a special meal planned or anything for tomorrow. It was interesting. I went to Cane's today, proud sponsor of tonight's show. I went to Cane's to pick up lunch today, and on the drive-through menu, they had a sign that said they were closed for Easter. It's not like shocking, and it's probably one of those things that's a corporate decision, but I would think fast food would remain open tomorrow, particularly out here. Now, if we were back home, back east in the Bible Belt, South Carolina, North Carolina, whatever, sure, I totally get it. Or at least have reduced hours. Wouldn't shock me at all. But yeah, Cane's is completely closed tomorrow. Again, I assume a corporate decision. But I also assume that most other fast food places are not closed tomorrow. So we shall see. Yeah, that just kind of, again, didn't shock me, but just unexpected. Unexpected to see that. That sign sitting up there. So anyway, so that's Easter. What else? Oh, tonight, as most of you know, almost all of you know, my TV generally stays on either Comedy Central, like 5 or 6 days out of the week. That's the channel it stays on. Or, especially on Sunday, I will sometimes put on the Oxygen Network, which has shows like Snapped, Philly Homicide, New York Homicide, Atlanta Homicide. It's a bunch of those murder, I shouldn't even say murder mysteries, because 8 minutes in, it's pretty clear who the person is. Or if you just read the description of the episode. And so on Sundays, a lot of times if we're having a lazy Sunday, we'll just lay around watching snapped, basically, a snapped marathon. But tonight, I came down, turned on the TV after helping get Isla ready for bed. Jamie stayed up to kind of finish the job, if you will. And I came down, turned on the TV, which had been off for several hours, and Comedy Central was showing Talladega Nights. They oftentimes will show movies on the weekends. And they were showing Step Brothers before that. So, and I think after this, they're showing something else. Maybe Step Brothers again? This meaning in real time. No, that's not right. It was Step Brothers because Talladega Nights was on just now when I turned the TV off. And then I think as of 3 minutes from now, it'll just be South Park reruns, which is what they do most nights, either South Park or not Modern Family. Oh my God, I'm drawing a complete blank. Family Guy. I had to sing the theme song to myself there. Anyway, that's relatively recent, just the past few weeks. They've switched a lot of Family Guy. But I digress. So I saw that was on. I was like, I want to watch this. And I just wanted that TV on to have some background noise because I was cleaning up the den. There were a bunch of Isla's toys laying around. So I was just tidying up. And I hit the guide to see what was on. And I went up just a couple channels to E, and they were showing Saved by the Bell. I was like, well, this is a throwback. Saved by the Bell, if you don't know, is a show that started out as a show called Good Morning, Mrs. Bliss. I believe 1988, maybe 89. I'm literally doing all this from memory. I refuse to pull up the Wikipedia of that show, but not for any reason. I just don't want to. I'm just lazy. And then it had a season or two of Good Morning, Miss Bliss, and then turned into Saved by the Bell. And that show ran 5 years, I want to say, 4 or 5 years. And then they had Saved by the Bell the college years because they realized that you can't do a because it takes place in high school, Bayside High School. You can't do a show with high school kids for 8 or 9 years. Beverly Hills 90210 tried to do that, and it just didn't make sense. Ian Ziering was like 32 when he was supposed to be in high school. No. Anyway, so, but, you know, and then they made like made-for-TV movies. It was a whole thing. If you don't know what Saved by the Bell is, look it up. If you do, everything I said is information you already know. Sorry, it sounds like one of my neighbors is dragging a body outside my window. I don't know what that sound is. But anyway, but yeah, so it follows Zach and his merry band of fellow castmates. Kelly Kapowski, played by Tiffany Amber Thiessen, was, you know, a sex symbol at the time. And Zach Morris, in the opposite way, played by Mark Paul Gosselaar, you know, had all the ladies swooning over him. And, you know, Mario Lopez, Screech, Dustin Diamond, all the characters, you know, went on to varying degrees of success. Of course, Mario Lopez, now 35 years later, looks exactly the same. It's kind of disgusting how young he's able to stay. But I was like, this will be fun to watch some old Saved by the Bell episodes. And it was fun. I watched like 5, 6 in a row. The acting is terrible. The writing is terrible. There's usually like a lesson to be learned. In fact, the very first one that we watched was called Say Nope to Dope. And it was where this purported Hollywood star came to Bayside High School and was like, hey, we want to shoot a PSA in a local high school. We're going to check you guys out and see if this is the right fit. And so he was, you know, I assume supposed to be some guy in his early or mid-20s and hanging out with these high school kids and just seeing what the school's all about. And, you know, there was one scene where they were kind of having a focus group. And what sorts of things would we say in this commercial? Well, I don't know, man. I don't know why anyone would do drugs. They can kill you. They, you know, just right on the nose, you know, like not even trying to hide what the point is. And literally at the end, the PSA, the final PSA that they filmed was, Brandon Tartikoff, who at the time was the president of NBC, Saved by the Bell aired on NBC, comes on. He's like, we think you shouldn't. Like, he ended up being the special guest because the young star who was supposed to star in the commercial ended up doing drugs himself. Shocker. So just very, we're not hiding anything. This is a PSA hidden within the episode of Saved by the Bell to say no to dope. Because again, and Jamie mentioned this, I mean, she was only a few years old at this point, but she was like, yeah, this was just the message of the 90s. I was like, the 90s? I was like, we had Just Say No when I was in elementary school, which was the 80s. So definitely not just a 90s thing. I'm sure it continued into the 90s, but you know, the Just Say No to Drugs thing was definitely a Nancy Reagan thing that kind of carried through into at least the early, if not mid-90s. And then at some point, I kind of don't remember it being that in my face, but that's probably because I was then in high school and college, and it just, you know, it's a less impactful message if you're talking to people who are of the age that they're probably either going to do it or not do it, as opposed to getting to kids earlier to try to influence them to not do it, to not do drugs. But I will say that episode in particular was very, again, it was a season four episode. So it was literally 91 that it was released in real time, 1991. And again, that let's call him a 25-year-old actor was like totally macking on Kelly Kapowski, again, Tiffany Amber Thiessen's character, who was 16, maybe 17 at the time. And I was like, this would not go over well in the modern age, if you will. Kind of had the creep vibes to it, but very much like, yeah, like literally as part of the episode, the guy had a party at his house with all these older people. And of course that's where they saw him doing drugs. But like by the end of the party, most of the other Saved by the Bell characters like, yeah, let's head out. You know, Screech had injured himself. And they're like, let's head out of here. I'm going to go ahead and go home. And Kelly's like, oh, I'll stay. Or no, she was like, well, maybe I should go with them. And the young actor guy was like, well, no, why don't you stay? He's like sidling up to her and trying to kiss her. It's like, come on, man. This has problem written all over it. It was not made clear how old she was. We can assume she was not 18, possibly not even 17. And so then you get in some real, you know, tricky scenarios there with consent and all of that. So, but it was, again, it was exactly what you'd expect. You know, I remember thinking of similar parallel kind of message type episodes. There was a show called The Hogan Family, formerly Valerie, but it was called The Hogan Family when this happened. And it was actually Jason Bateman was on that show as a teenager. And there was an episode where their house caught on fire. I remember this for whatever reason very well. It's a very vivid memory. And it was one of the episodes where at the beginning, it was like the following program contains, which you don't really see or hear that anymore. They just throw those letters up in the corner of the screen. But it was like, you know, mature topics and viewer discretion advised. Parents, please discuss with your kids. And it was just because their house caught on fire. I think my recollection is it caught on fire because one of them was smoking. And so it was like double message, like don't smoke. And also if you do, you might burn your whole house down. But there were shows like that all the time, all the time. Again, not just ones geared exclusively at kids. Saved by the Bell was definitely geared at the younger audience, but the Hogan Family was just like any other sitcom. They happened to have a couple of breakout stars from that show that were teenagers or early 20s, but it wasn't a Saturday morning show. That was a, you know, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, primetime type show. But that show would do that a lot. I feel like Growing Pains had a couple of episodes like that. And again, it's just, you know, they'd incorporate a drug overdose or drunk driving or teen pregnancy, you know, you name it. They would incorporate it and just showing what can happen, the potential ramifications of making bad decisions as a teenager with, you know, of course, decisions that teenagers make all the time, to have sex, to do drugs, to smoke, to drink, whatever. And it's just, again, maybe I just don't watch those shows anymore, but I feel like those don't exist anymore. You're not going to find a, I mean, hell, I don't even know what the sitcom du jour is right now, but whatever it is, Abbott Elementary, it's just one that popped into my head that I think is, you know, pretty popular sitcom, still putting out new material, new shows. You're not going to find a very special, I imagine, a very special episode of Abbott Elementary. It just doesn't happen anymore. Why is that? Don't know, don't care, but it's just strange. It's as if sitcoms, situational comedies in the 80s and 90s almost had to, once a season or once every other season, do their part to put together a quote-unquote PSA episode that would teach kids and young adults the right thing to do. I can't think of it off the top of my head, but I feel like even Alf had an episode that had some sort of message to it. So just, you know, different times. And again, obviously, combining and with that, the fact that the young Hollywood star character was a complete creep. Like, that wouldn't happen. That definitely would not happen anymore either. So, you know, programming has changed. What do you know? TV programming has changed. Who'd have thunked it? Anyway, all right. I had one other thing. I think I'll cut that out. Maybe I'll do a more salient update at a later time, maybe next time that I do a Scott Speaks episode. A few minutes shy of 30 minutes, which is usually what I try to shoot for in these Scott Speaks. I teased earlier a story, so I'll go ahead and tell it again. If I've told it on this podcast before as a Scott Speaks or part of the Bro Pod or as part of another half episode, I don't know. If I've told it somewhere on this network at some point in the last 6 or 7 years, my apologies. But it's just a great story. I'll give you the relatively short version. So Earth Day, so sometime in April, obviously. 2001. So I'm almost positive my senior year. And at Clemson, what they would do is out on Bowman Field, which is the field right in front of kind of the main entrance to campus, right in front of Tillman Hall and all that. They would have a big setup, and you come up and sign up to volunteer, and you could do all sorts of things around campus. You could plant trees, you know, whatever it is, pick up trash. I don't know. Honestly, I never did anything with it. But they advertised pretty publicly, at least this year. I assume they did it most years, and they may still do it. I don't know. But they advertised that if you showed up in the morning and you signed up to do something, they had free donuts. And they had them in the big, you know, as most cafeterias have, they have these big, giant, 6-8 foot tall rolling rack holders. And you just slid in racks of donuts, racks and racks and racks of donuts. And so you came out, you signed up, and they'd offer you a donut. Well, this particular year, I assume, is Earth Day always April 22nd? Is that just how it works? I have no idea. Let's assume it is. April 22nd. 2001 in Clemson, South Carolina was a freaking monsoon. It didn't just rain, it poured. And so by 10:30, 11 o'clock, I'd say, Bowman Field was famous for this, specifically where they happened to set the tents up or whatever. It was a mud pit. There was just a bunch of standing water. And so we'll call it by midday, everyone had just abandoned the tent because, again, Earth Day, you know, you're putting mulch down, you're planting a tree, everything is outside. So clearly, presumably, no one was showing up to do anything because it was just raining cats and dogs. And so it happened that Mr. Tilda James Barley had gone past Bowman and seen that no one was there. Yet the tent was still up, and most critically, the donuts were still sitting there in the racks. And so he comes back. We were living at Lightsea Bridge Apartments at the time. I assume those still exist. I don't know. And he's like, Scrooge. Everybody called me Scrooge in college. Scrooge, you're not going to believe this. There's 700 donuts just sitting on Bowman Field. Let's go get some. And I said, let's do it. So we ran over to my car. It was in the surface lot there by Lightsea. And the plan was simply, we roll up, Tild will jump out, run over, grab what he can, run back, dive into the car, and we'll take off back to the apartment. That's it. Again, this is 2001. Sure, there are probably security cameras, but A, clearly no one cares because he left the donuts out there. B, security cameras nowhere near the extent that they are nowadays. And so that's what we did. I mean, there's no spoiler alerts here. We got in my car. I drove down. Tilda jumped out, ran over. My recollection is that he grabbed two racks of donuts, which I'm going to guess had either 36 or 48 donuts per. Regular glazed donuts, nothing special. Grabbed two racks, ran back in. My recollection is he dove into the backseat of my car. It may not have been like that. I don't know. And, you know, just go, go, go. We took off. Unfortunately, the way I definitely remember this. The way my car was pointed, I drove back into campus, which seems pretty dumb. I should have, while he was out getting them, I should have kind of turned around so that he could jump back in the car and then I could take off right on the 93 and, you know, head out of town if I needed to, but I didn't. Drove through campus, back to Lightsea. We brought the donuts into the apartment. It was a great day. It was hilarious. We ended up, this comes full circle back to what I was talking about with the peeps. We ended up, and why that made me think of this, we ended up putting them in the freezer. Like we got large, you know, gallon-sized Ziploc bags. And we put 10 or 12 in each. And our freezer was just full of donuts. And for weeks after that, we'd go in and kind of our dessert or our snack at any given time was to heat up a donut for like 10 or 15 seconds from the freezer. Now, I'll be honest with you. At first, delicious. Great plan. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks later, not as good. Not as tasty as you might think. So, but yeah, I mean, you know, towards the end, and I think, again, just saying it out loud, if it was April 22nd, 2001, I mean, I graduated a month later. So this probably happened pretty quickly, but we definitely were like inviting people over. Hey, you want a donut? Anybody want a donut? Just 15 seconds in the microwave. They're tasty. But I'm like literally as I'm thinking about it, I'm remembering how good they were. They were really good at first, the first few batches. You put them in for that 15 seconds, the glaze would just melt over, a nice warm donut. Like, it wasn't Krispy Kreme off the rack good, but it was, considering the price, of course, which was nothing, and the fact that they were cafeteria donuts, it was really not bad at all. So, and again, obviously we were never caught. I don't know what we ended up doing with the trays. That's a curiosity. Maybe I'll shoot a text out to the group of fellows that were living there, Ro and James. I think Dee Prowlow was still living there at that time, but see if anybody remembers what happened to the trays of donuts or the trays that the donuts were on. Because I certainly don't recall, but yeah, it was fun, man. That was college life, just doing really dumb stuff like that and not thinking twice about it, not thinking about the potential repercussions, or if you thought about it, not worrying about it. That was college life. Now, I don't want you to think that I was some ne'er-do-well and we were doing that sort of stuff all the time. Not the case, but just one of the many. I mean, literally, if someone said, what are your top three stories from college or top five stories or whatever, 100% the story's in there. 100%. In fact, as I'm thinking right now, I can't think of a better one. There might be one that's equal, but nothing's better than that. That was quintessential college, to me anyway. This isn't a great story. This is just a memory that I have. I want to say this must have been freshman year. It was either freshman, at latest it was sophomore year. Early days of me playing poker, and I got invited. God, I wish I could remember the guy's name. James would remember this kid's name. But I got invited to an off-campus game. And it was, we're talking literally nickel dime kind of stakes. And like playing with change, like literal change. And probably five-card draw. I mean, this was before rounders. This was before any of that stuff. But, and we got to the game. Maybe like five or six of us. It wasn't a big game. And at one point, the guy who was the host and the guy whose name I can't remember just like pulled out a gun and put it on the table as a way of intimidating people. I don't know. It was a very odd move. Again, he could have robbed all of us and gotten away with $17. Like it wasn't even that. He wasn't even trying. He just like happened to have a gun and happened to pull it out, put it on the table. And I was just like, this is not for me. And I never went to his house again. I did play cards with him again, but we would play on campus. We would play in kind of the, the common area on our floor, in the dorm. So I was in a dorm, Holmes freshman year, McCabe, my sophomore year. So one of the two of those we'd play in the common area. That I remember, but I wish I could remember that. I keep wanting to say his name was Tully or Sully, but that also feels wrong. So anyway, so that was crazy Clemson stories. If you guys like those, I'd be happy to tell more as I think of them. I should probably write them down. I mean, this is one way of memorializing them, isn't it? Putting it out in the form of a podcast or a story within a podcast for everyone to see and hear and listen to. But I digress. Anyway. So yeah, that's it. If you want to hear more of those stories, let me know. TheBroPodNetwork@gmail.com, TheBroPodNetwork@gmail.com. Slide into our DMs on Instagram or X at @the_bro_pod. We also have links to merch, Threadless. We have Threadless merch. They're all below in the description. And check out the website, of course, BroPodNetwork.com, BroPodNetwork.com, where you can find all this stuff. And, yeah. Interact with us. Like, share, subscribe, tell a friend. Spread the love for the show. I would certainly appreciate it. All right. That's it. I got to edit this. I got 10 minutes to do it, so I'm going to hurry up and hop to that. So, I thank you guys for sticking around and hanging out with me a little bit this evening. And until next week, everybody.